Welcome, everyone. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are so glad you've joined us today. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister live here in the studio. One of our people, Shell, is sitting here, but she's like just going to listen here. She says hi. And Carol's going to call in a little while. You know, it's just such a joy to be with you week after week. And it never grows old to give you the word of God, words of life week after week. It is a joy to be able to share what God is doing in our lives at Beacon of Hope and with our friends and families and so many answers to prayer. It is just amazing. The praise reports are coming in by gallons, and that's pretty darn cool. And so we welcome you to let us know when you have one of those answers to prayer. And we want to hear about it, and we want to rejoice with you. And we've been doing a lot of that lately. It's just amazing what is going on in people's lives. I mean, not only the answers to prayer, but the issues that so many are having. Because life is full of difficult times, and these have been hard economic times for the last few years. And a lot of people have been going through some real stress and pain in their individual lives. You may be one of those today. They're going through some difficult times. And so we encourage you to listen to the show today and be encouraged that God does love you, cares about the details of your life, knows what you're going through, and he's got a plan. He's got a plan to rescue you. He's got a plan to set you free from some of the junk that's weighted you down. And he's got a plan just to bless you and prosper you. This whole show for the whole 6 years we've been on the air is based on Jeremiah 29:11-14, where God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to bless you, plans to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. And that's what it's all about. So whatever you're going through, you may feel hopeless today. You may feel discouraged today. You may feel defeated. God wants you to know how much he loves you, how very special you are to him and to those around you. And, you know, life is short. We're not here very long. We're here for just a short time and passing through, you know. And I love what David said in Psalm 23, that we are passing through the valley of the shadow of death, going through it. And there's times that we feel like, you know, we're going down for the count. I've been there, believe me. And there's times that I think, oh my, how am I going to get out of this mess? Maybe you can relate to that today and know that God's got a plan. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. I don't know who that's for today, but take it and grab it. That is Psalm 23, I think verse 4. Yea, though I walk through, that's the operative word there. We're not going to hang out in the valley of the shadow of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy hand sustains me. Praise God. No evil shall befall you. So that's for you today. Take it and know that God's got a plan, and this too shall pass. A wise old pastor's wife told me that many, many years ago. I was probably early 20s and going through a hard time, and this lady pulled me aside. She says, I need to talk to you. And I was a youth pastor at that time. And she said, I know you're going through a hard time, but she said, God says to tell you this too shall pass. So whoever that's for, let me tell you, it does. And since that's been a couple years ago, since I was in my early 20s, I can tell you that this too does pass, whatever it is. And you go on, you just go on, you know. And God's got the blessings there for you. So let's pray together as we get started today on the show. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for our dear listeners, those scattered around the globe that might be listening on their computer, those that are in the Tampa Bay area, and those that are hearing this show live in the different states where we are now live. Lord, we ask that you bring a supernatural sense of your presence into their lives today. Lord, that every single one that listens now or later on our website will know that you are speaking to them, will know that you have a plan for them, will know that you care about the details of their lives, and they will look up and reach for you, Lord. And in the stillness and quietness of their heart, that they will talk with you and decide to deepen this relationship that they have with you. Lord, if there are some listening today that don't know you as their personal Savior, let today be the day that they make a decision to follow you and make you Lord and Savior of their life. Lord, we ask your blessing on the discussion today. We ask your blessing on the word. We ask your blessing on the music. It's always great. We thank you for your anointing. It's powerful. It's wonderful. It's life-changing. So, Lord, bless these listeners in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Chris Tomlin's going to open the show today with a song that I love, Awake My Soul. This will do it for you. Brings life to my dead bones and my dry bones. I love that. Speak to me, Word of God. Speak to me. I come alive when you speak to me. Dear ones, it's not just about reading the words in your Bible. We want the words in your Bible to come alive to you. And they do that when the Spirit of God anoints those words and you realize God is speaking directly to you. So this is the cry of our hearts today on this show. Speak to me, Word of God. Speak to me. Come alive. Let's go to John chapter 1. I just really felt impressed to start here today. I wasn't going to, so this is for somebody. John 1:1. The Word was first. The Word present to God. I'm reading now the Message Bible. God present to the Word. The Word was God. In readiness for God from day one. Let's read it out of the NIV. That's the Message. The NIV says, in the beginning was the Word. Sounds like the book of Genesis. That was intentional. John started this book just sounding like Genesis. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. That's Jesus. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Jesus made it all. He's the one. In him was life. The series that we are in the month of March now, A Beacon of Hope and on the radio show, is the living Jesus. We want to emphasize this whole month that he is life. He is alive forevermore. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. I taught on this last Wednesday night at our church about the fact that God's life in us is what gives us light, okay? We need light on our dark places. And there are times in our lives that we feel like everything is dark, just totally dark. And when God's Spirit begins to speak to you, like this song just said, Awake My Soul by Chris Tomlin, what a song. Speak to me, Word of God, speak to me. I come alive when you speak to me. I don't know about y'all, but I love it when God says something to me directly. And that was going on a lot in church this morning. We had a lot of prophetic word. We had a lot of creative word that was being spoken into people's lives. And when that happens, when God speaks directly to us, it changes us. Speak to me, Word of God, speak to me. So John 1, looking at verse 3, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. That's in Jesus. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. In the original Greek that scripture was written in, the word, the darkness, in the Message Bible, it says the darkness couldn't put it out. The darkness cannot put out the life of God. Some of you may be walking around in darkness in your lives right now. You don't know how to respond to a given situation that's going on for you. You don't know what to do in the mess you happen to be in. And so often we feel that the darkness overpowers the light. You know, you can be in a totally dark room. If there's a little tiny bit of light, even a tiny, tiny bit, like a night light, or like the light of the moon coming through the shades in your window at night, that little bit of light will illuminate your path to get up, navigate around your room, go to the bathroom, whatever you do. That little bit of light will pierce the darkness. God's word says here in John 1:5, the darkness can't put out the light. The darkness can't. We turn on the light is there. The darkness doesn't say, oh no, forget it. No light, you got to get hidden under the bed. No, once that light goes on, the darkness cannot, in the original Hebrew, actually Greek, I'm sorry, this was the word right there, katalambano, which means to keep under or down or to stop. Dear ones, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the dark things that are trying to overpower you cannot do so. The light of God's word, as you're listening to the word of God today on this show, Living the Good Life, the light of God's word will so overpower the darkness that your healing will begin, that your emotional healing will begin, your physical healing, that you will begin to have hope rise up within you right now at the sound of these words, because the darkness cannot overpower the light. You can be in a totally dark room, totally, completely dark. And if there is a moon outside and you open your shade a little bit, there's light coming in. And the darkness cannot rise up and say, no, 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 we're not going to have that light coming in. No way, no way, no way. That can't happen because it's the light of the moon outside, or it's the light of God's word that comes into your dark situation. And this is the truth. Jesus is the life and he's the light. It says in John 8:12, and we're studying the book of John all this month, so read it with us. John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoa. One of his seven I am statements in the book of John. I am the light of the world. That's who he is. This whole show is about Jesus. It always is. And Jesus says darkness can't overpower him. Darkness cannot overpower the truth of God's word. When God's word says the Lord is good, this is Nahum 1:7. And I use this in our intro on our new website. We hope you go there and listen to it. And I use this verse. It's one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Nahum 1:7. Hard to find Nahum, I will admit. It's in the Old Testament somewhere, hidden there somewhere. Nahum, N-A-H-U-M. Nahum 1:7 says, the Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows all those who put their trust in him. Whoa, that's a powerful thing. I'm going to say that again. This is for somebody out there in radio land. The Lord is good. That's it. That's his nature right there. He's good. Okay. The Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble. Some of you are going through some rough times right now. You know, maybe you've just had a breakup in a relationship. Maybe you've lost your home. That's happening so much. I'm a realtor down here in Florida, and I understand how that happens, and it's difficult for people when that happens. Maybe that's happened to you. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe just a family member is not speaking to you. Maybe you've just been diagnosed with a terrible disease. All of this is darkness. All of this are things that we just absolutely cannot let these things that happen to us, these issues, these problems overpower us, because God's word says the life light, that's Jesus, blazed out of the darkness, and the darkness couldn't put it out. The darkness cannot overpower God's word. The word that's going forth today on this radio show, Living the Good Life, is stronger than any darkness that the devil or any of his demonic spirits tries to put on you. God's light and the truth of God's word is stronger than the attacks and the schemes and the tricks of the evil one. That song we just played by Chris Tomlin says, speak to me, word of God, speak to me. I come alive when you speak to me. That's what God is doing today on this show, and that's what he's going to do throughout the entire show. And the life and the light are Jesus. And Jesus wants to impact your life today in a very positive way. So, Carol, just joining me here from Georgia, one of our radio team. How you doing there, old friend?
I am doing very well. It's a beautiful day in Georgia, and cool. I do not work for the Chamber of Commerce.
Well, but yet you're on the city council up there.
Because there is light outside.
But you
have gone through some pretty nasty weather, of course, mm-hmm. all over the nation.
Right.
And I think sometimes we do begin as people to feel that things are hopeless. And
yes.
We're sometimes, I guess, thinking we're on the bad list and nothing's good going to happen to us, our town, our state, our nation.
Right.
And then once again, the sunlight comes out and it reminds us that mm-hmm. the sun, S-O-N light, shines brighter than any darkness we could ever face.
Amen. You know, that is so true, Carol. And, you know, there are times our lives just seem dismal, you know, and I keep feeling that as we're on this show today, that there are people out there listening today who really are feeling very hopeless about their given situation and very distraught and maybe angry. And maybe just plain beat up and sick of it all, you know? And
you know, you can kick an old dog so long that he doesn't respond to the kicks. And I think often that happens to people.
Right.
They're in a situation in their life where they're getting beaten up, whether it
right.
be by angry words or whether it be by someone's dastardly actions or some situation that they simply feel they have no control over.
Right.
And once you keep beating up that dog, he loses all sense of hope, and he just becomes a skeleton of bones on the ground. And this is what happens to people. They begin to feel like, number one, God doesn't love them.
Right.
Two, God doesn't even know who they are.
Right.
And number three, and his name is what now?
Right.
Jesus, God,
exactly.
Holy Spirit. Well, why isn't he helping me? And I think it oftentimes it happens that way, and they become hopeless. And then somebody,
right.
some spark, a word spoken in love and gratitude and compassion brings the light.
Amen.
Into them.
You know, Carol, this is you're exactly right. This is the message of the book of John, that in the midst of our darkness, the darkness cannot overpower the light of God's word and the presence and the anointing of God in our lives. It cannot. The darkness can't. You know, you and I have been talking lately because you do a lot of the prayers. You and Pastor Jim respond to our prayer crisis prayer line. And Shelly, you'll be interested to know that 2 weeks ago on a Saturday, we hit our high water mark of 3 weeks ago, I guess, of number of requests in one day, 18 requests in one day from all over the nation, different places. That was the high water mark. That's a lot. But, you know, we encourage you, listeners, make use of our crisis prayer line. Carol, you write the most gorgeous prayers for people and include the word of God, and it gives them hope. And but, Carol, last week you and I talked about three different situations of domestic violence.
Yes.
One was in your family. One was in my family. One was somebody else. And then we got another request of domestic violence on a day or two later. This is a common problem in this day and age, and I think a lot of it has to do with people are frustrated economically, they're beat up emotionally, and so they take it out on people that they supposedly love. And, you know, we as a global ministry we want to reach out to victims of domestic violence and say, we're a safe place. Write us an email, prayers@bohmglobal.com. That's our new prayer email address, prayers@BOHM, that stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries, global.com. And know that there are people here who will pray for you and listen to you if you actually want to talk to us on the phone. That's fine, too. But, Carol, I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful that we have something we can say to people. Here's a lifeline. Reach out and contact us if you're in one of these difficult situations, because the darkness cannot overpower the light. It cannot.
No, it can't. And one of the things that that I find interesting about Beacon of Hope is that it is a global ministry. We don't just try to go into the neighborhood where the church is located,
right,
and teach and work with people there. This is a global ministry. Those three people you were talking about, one came from Alabama, one was in Indiana, and one was someplace I won't mention because
right.
It's too close to perhaps help that individual if I mention it.
Right.
But those 18 prayers,
right.
I know that people don't think that there's much to say in 18 prayers, and it shouldn't take
it takes a lot.
Just a few minutes.
It took all day long to respond to all those people, didn't it?
No, but it takes a long time because I don't just sit down and write a prayer. I pray about the situation that was presented.
Right.
And then I wait for God to say to me, tell them this.
Right.
And I write to tell them this things.
Right.
Because it's not just off the top of my head. You know, these people are in desperate situations.
Absolutely.
Whether it be a financial situation, whether it be a child abuse situation, an elderly abuse situation, or just hopelessness.
Right.
And these economic times have certainly brought people to their knees.
Right.
And
absolutely.
If that's where they will stay, and if they will extend their hands and say, Father, help me, things will change for them in a blink of an eye. But it's difficult to get some people to understand that because they don't see God.
Well, you're exactly right. And that just brings me to the next verse that I wanted to go to, and that's John 1:12, because this applies perfectly. In the NIV, it says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You know, I've heard people say, well, we're all God's children. Well, we are if we accept him as our Father, as our Savior, as our Lord. This verse is very clear in John 1:12. All who received him, those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, which means we have all the privileges that come with that parent. And this parent happens to be Almighty God, the God of the universe. You know, Carol, when we're little kids and we're still living at home with our parents, they feed us, generally speaking. I mean, there are some cases where that doesn't happen. But basically, they feed us, they clothe us, they take care of us, and they say, this is my kid, you know, and he belongs to me, she belongs to me. They give us, when we're born, they give us their last name, generally speaking, you know, and we become their child, okay? And I love the way John 1:12 says it in the Message Bible. Whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed, and would do what he said, he made to be their true selves, their child of God selves. We become who we really are. Now, I know there are cases where babies are born and, you know, they are given up for adoption, but or whatever the case may be. But let's just say in general, let's say you and me, Carol, when you were born, you became the child of MF, and I forget your mother's first name.
Juanita.
Witcher. And you became, your last name was theirs because they took you as their child and claimed you on the birth certificate. Same thing happened to me, and my last name was Wagner, W-A-G-N-E-R, from Germany. And that's why in first grade they all called me Marshmallow Wagtail. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Neither here nor there. Anyway, but for the part that I want to make, the point I want to make is I was part of the parents' family. As we receive Jesus, become a part of the family of God. And that is huge, Carol. That's a privilege. That's an honor to be God's child, don't you think?
I think it's more than an honor. I think it's finally you begin to realize who you really are.
Right.
You know, MF and Juanita were my parents. And they gave me the guidance that they gave me as I was maturing.
Right.
But by the same token, I outgrew their guidance.
True.
I needed another guide. I needed another father.
Right.
I needed somebody who could take me beyond what my parents had taught me.
Right.
And extend to me this huge family of humanity from every size, shape, nation, and diversity, and to make me a part of God's family. And I finalized that myself when I accepted Christ.
Amen.
And was baptized. I accepted him reaching out and saying, Carol, I would like for you to be a part of my family. I'm going to tell you wonderful, marvelous things. And I, by the way, have a job for you to do, Carol.
Exactly. You know, Carol, really, this is pretty exciting when we look at it like this. That all we have to do is say, I believe. All we have to do is speak two words. I believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is Romans 10, 9 and 10. That he came to this earth in human form. He died on a cross for my sins and my sicknesses. That he came out of the tomb, a risen Lord. I believe. And when we speak those words, there is a shift that happens on the inside of us. And we are suddenly not just blowing around in the wind, just wondering where we belong, but we suddenly belong to the family of God. You know, it reminds me of the old Gaither song. I'm so glad I've been born. I can't remember the words. The family of God. And you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I can't sing either after I just came from the nursing home, Carol, and now that voice is gone. But we belong to the family of God, and it is so cool to realize that, don't you think?
It is. It really is cool. And, you know, I know that today was the ministry for the nursing home, and think about those wonderful people that are there.
Oh, it was such a blessing.
Their earthly fathers and mothers are gone, long gone.
Right.
And so they still have a family, though. They still have God with his hands on their shoulders, and they still know that he's approachable by them. They can call his name, whether they're in pain or flashbacks to when they were young, whatever
right.
it might be. They can call on the name God the name Jesus and the
it's
Holy
so
Spirit. And their lives will be lightened, their burdens will be lighter, and their joy will be greater.
Well, that's exactly true. And we sing a lot of the old choruses, you know, Sunday school choruses that we grew up singing at nursing home, because they know those.
Sure.
You know, we sing Jesus Loves Me every single time. And, I mean, we get them into it, and, you know, they're singing it at the top of their lungs. And we had people in the hall today that were singing. And I tell you, when you minister to people God's love and his purpose for them, and that they are his children and he loves them, it's like these grins. Did you notice that, Shel? Grins are just coming in on their faces. I mean, we were just blessed today. I mean, Shel was there with me and a whole gang from Beacon. And it was a blessing to each one of us just to minister to them. But then again, they ministered to us with their warm, you know, their smiles. They're so grateful we're there. And isn't that the gospel, Carol? Isn't that the gospel?
It really is. Being able to share the word of Christ and the light of Christ,
right,
with every single person, you know, and some folks, you know, in nursing home situations or assisted living situations, kind of, they may have outgrown all of their family.
Right.
And we just need to recognize that just offering them a hand and saying,
yes,
Jesus loves you, or when you're singing Jesus loves you, I know that you guys that are at the nursing home ministering go around and you touch their hands.
Oh, we
and
do.
You say to them, Jesus loves you, Ethel. Jesus loves you, Eddie.
Right.
Jesus loves you. You know,
absolutely,
the greatest medication you can ever give somebody is the compassion that God has gone through Jesus to tell us to use.
Exactly.
It's
right.
The greatest medication
it
ever.
Is.
Compassion for someone else. Reaching out and taking that withered little old hand, regardless of what its color is. It could have been a diverse situation, whatever it is.
I know it.
You touch that person, you say, Jesus loves you.
Well, this is the nursing home where Jeannie lived for two or three years, and where my mother was after she broke her hip, her pelvis, and her shoulder all at the same time a couple years ago. And so we know the nurses, and we know all those people very well. And it's kind of cool that when we go in there and we start touching them and start telling them how glad we are to see them and all that. Today, one of the little old ladies that doesn't hardly ever respond, when I got over to her, she said, honey, lean down, I'm going to kiss you. And she kissed me on the cheek, and it was so cute because she's never done that before, Carol. But it was, she said, we're glad you're here, you know, and
it's a bright light.
This is what it's about.
You come in
right.
Joyful. You
right.
Come in loaded down with the Holy Spirit. And when y'all walk in that room, the brightness of Christ shows.
It does.
And it shows those people and those nurses and other staff that there is light in the world that has not forgotten the unforgettable.
Amen. Well, this is so, we don't plan these shows, so this is a perfect segue right into John 1:14. Jesus says this to us in John 1:14. The word became flesh, that's Jesus, flesh and blood. You see, we can sit on the radio and we can talk all day long, but until a person experiences God for themselves, till a person reaches out and says, okay, I want this living Jesus to be a part of my life. I love John 1:14, one of my favorite verses. The word became flesh, that's Jesus, and blood, and moved into the neighborhood. And what happens when we go to nursing home is that we go into their neighborhood. We go into their area. And we saw the glory with our own eyes, like Father, like Son, one-of-a-kind glory, generous. And I think the King James says full of grace and truth. Generous inside and out, full of grace and truth. And that's who Jesus is, full of grace and truth. Woo. I don't know. That just does something to me every time.
Well, you know, to be full of grace and truth, we don't often hear a lot about grace in some circumstances.
Right.
But truth, you know, is God. He is truth.
Yes.
He is omnipowerful, omnipresent, always with us in all of our situations.
Right.
And his way is truth.
Yes, absolutely. And Jesus came to this earth to show us the Father. That was the mission of Jesus. He didn't come just so we could have Christmas every year. Jesus came to show us the Father. So he walked this earth, and he did the things that the Father directed him to do. which were heal the sick, you know, give hope to those who were in despair and downtrodden, and to bring relief to those who were beat up by maybe physical violence or beat up by life. You know, Jesus came full of grace and truth, and he said there is a better way to live. That's why he came, to reveal the Father to us. So
one of the things I think that happens in situations where there are disparities in relationships and someone's getting slugged in the face as we speak right now, I speak truth to that person and say, you don't have to live that way.
Amen.
You don't have to live that way. The Lord is your light, and he will change your situation if you call him out. In the middle of somebody hitting you with something, in the middle of some other abuse taking place, call out his name and watch that perpetrator fall.
Absolutely.
They can't stand in the light of Jesus Christ because their condemnation will come from him.
Well, and it takes a courage in some of these that are beaten up by others. It takes courage to come out from that kind of a situation, for sure. I was reading something from Graham Cook, who I love, his writings and his CDs, and he said, and I wrote it at the bottom of my page in this Bible, position yourself in a place of total confidence in the grace of God. We got to get to a place where we are so confident of God's grace in our life, and his grace is his unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. Well, we have his favor. It's favor. And we get to a point where we position ourselves in God's favor. And so we expect God to move in our situation. We expect God to provide the job. We expect God to heal our hurt. All of that. We position ourselves in a place of confidence in God and his word. You want to comment to that?
Well, I think if you refer to Titus 2:13, and it speaks of waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. We wait for that opportunity
right.
to experience him. And people have no concept of what grace really is.
Right.
When you are in grace that God has given, it is the most warming, peaceful, it's like a cozy, comfy blanket.
Exactly.
And you have no thought of something ill or wrong. And when I was going through cancer and was over at Emory so many days a week, and walking in and seeing the people there who had not experienced grace, who were full of despair and hopelessness,
right.
and to come in and be able to interact and minister to them, and then have them come back at a later time and say, I am so warm and so comfortable. I don't know what to tell you I feel. And I said, let's call it grace.
Right. It is grace. Carol, I remember one day when you were going through some kind of a treatment, something that you had to go through, a big MRI thing, and it was kind of difficult for you. And I remember we prayed before you went in there. And I remember later you calling me and telling me you felt like grace. And there is a song, this title, Grace Like Rain. There is a song that is an amazing song. But that you
it's
felt
almost as if you're wrapped in,
right?
Using this as a metaphor, wrapped in a cocoon of warmth and love that you've never experienced by anyone in your whole lifetime. No human being, as much as they love you, can love you like the Heavenly Father.
Amen. And can minister to you into the depths of your soul like God can do.
And sits with you in your times of despair.
Yes.
For those in despair right now, if you can imagine, whatever your situation is, be it financial, relationship, whatever it might be, illness, if you stop and just take a second and look to your left and to your right, turn around to your backside, look frontwise, God is there.
Amen.
Even in your
Amen.
Deepest despair, he's sitting beside you. He's standing in front of you. He's holding you with his arms around your shoulders. On your right, you see the strong right hand of Jesus Christ.
Oh, amen. You know, Carol, there's been so many times I've been with people as they've gone on to glory, and they've died right there. Probably 30, 40 people in my lifetime. It's been a lot of people. And there have been so many times that I've experienced watching these people as they're transitioning from earth to glory. And the same thing happened just recently with my mother when she went into Jesus' arms. It was like so amazing, the peace in that room. She was ready to go. She had been talking to Jesus a lot. She was ready to go into his arms. And as that process happened, there was such a sense of comfort and peace. Only God could do that. Because in the natural, you're losing a loved one or a friend. But in the spiritual realm, there is a transition that goes on that is so amazing. It's just amazing.
Because you know where they are.
Right.
They are resting in the arms of our eternal Father.
Mm-hmm.
When people, and I've been, and you have, if you recall, we were at a funeral in Bartow, Florida. And if you recall, what we witnessed as we were at that funeral, you and Maxine and I were there.
Oh, yes.
And the angst and
yes.
the anguish
yes.
of the loss of
Forgot.
That particular
yeah.
child
mm-hmm.
was
the child.
Beyond understanding. The family had
child
no concept
run over that car.
Of what grace was, of the mighty power of Jesus Christ.
Right.
They didn't have a concept, and I know it made the three of us extremely uncomfortable.
Just wailing and wailing and crying and trying to hold the dead body that was in the casket. It was awful. It was an awful thing. You're right, Carol. But the good thing is we know that Jesus is our light. We've got to go to this song. It's by Casting Crowns. It's one of my favorites. It's a new song, and probably about a year ago, The Well. Listen to these words.
Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. I have what you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, you just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. So bring me your heart, no matter how broken. Just come as you are. When your last prayer is spoken, just rest in my arms a while. You'll feel the change, my child, when you come to the well. It's all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind. That you're full of love beyond measure, your joy's gonna flow like a stream in the desert. Soon all the world will see the living water is found in me, 'cause you come to the well. Yeah. It's all who thirst will thirst no more. It's all who search will find what they're searching. leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind.
Your pursuit of perfection.
Leave it all behind.
Your fear of rejection.
Leave it all behind.
God, leave it all behind, baby. Leave it all behind. Whatever it is that's dragging you down, leave it all behind and come to the well. And there you will find peace and joy and God's grace and His love like you have never known before. Leave it all behind and come to the well. And this is what Jesus is saying, Carol, to our listeners today, whether they listen today live or later on the website. It's time to leave all the junk behind and start a new way of living and thinking, don't you think?
I definitely think so. And coming to the well means coming to the living water of Jesus Christ.
Yes, it does.
There is no future. There is no future from one moment to the next when you are in certain situations, domestic situations, when you're in total despair and you're putting that gun to your head. The next thing you have to do is drop that and come to the well.
Amen.
And say, Jesus Christ, save me. I'm at my broken point.
Yes.
A person may be sobbing, falling on their knees, writhing on the floor when they realize, I can't do it myself anymore.
Amen.
I'm not wise enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not rich enough. I'm not.
Right.
But all they do is to say, Jesus, help me.
Amen.
And you've gone to the well.
And that's what it takes. And you know, it takes courage, Carol, for people to come out of their junk. You know, I mean, we can become so complacent. And I can say this, and you can say this, because we're a little older than some of the average bears around.
Yes, you're not in your 20s, folks.
But you know what, Carol? I mean, we have got to make tough decisions sometimes. You know, my youngest son is getting ready to get married. He's 35 years old. And I tell you, some of the family thought this guy is never going to get married. And he finally found the most wonderful, wonderful person, and he'll be married here in just a few weeks. Mark and his bride, Candy, and it was a decision. It's people were saying, he's never going to make that tough decision to get married and to give up single life and all that. But when he found the right person, it was an easy decision. In fact, his future mother-in-law said to me yesterday at a luncheon that we had, because we were my daughter-in-law, almost daughter-in-law, was trying on her wedding gown, being fitted. And her mother said to me, I'm so surprised, as analytical as Mark is, as he always has to weigh out all the options. You know, he's got to make lists, and he's got to decide, and he's got to. She goes, we were shocked that after only like 3 months, he asked her to marry him. And I said, he was convinced that this was the person for him. He fell in love. He knew that she had all the things, attributes that he had been praying to God for. Then it was a simple decision, and this can be related to our relationship with God, don't you think?
Definitely. When you know that you have done everything, you know, but let's go through somebody's life, just Joe or Josephine somebody.
Right.
And they start off, and then somehow they get hooked into things that are not quite legal and things that are not quite healthy and things that are not quite right. They go through that, and they run through that.
Right.
And just doing helter-skelter activities and not even thinking about Jesus. But one day, some point of time, there will come a realization that they can't do it by themselves.
Right.
They cannot continue the activities that they're doing because they're illegal, immoral, or they're killing them.
Right.
And they have to reach out and say, God, I just can't do it anymore. I don't have the wisdom to deal with the things that are happening to me and around me. I need you to show me the way to be the living water. Let me come to you thirsty and let me drink and drink and drink. And let me be satisfied in the word that I hear from you. And I think a lot of times, Pastor, people hear a word from God and they dismiss it as whatever.
I agree. I was just getting ready to say that, Carol. There are a lot of times that God does speak. You know, we played that song earlier, Speak to Me, Word of God, Speak to Me. I come alive when you speak to me. But
that's
I'm
right.
telling you that, Carol, I've pastored a long time, and I have seen ears go deaf. I have seen hearts grow cold. I have seen hearts grow lukewarm because it's tough. It's tough to walk with the Lord on a daily basis in a lot of ways, because sometimes it means priorities change, lifestyles changes, things happen. You have to take time in the Word, you know, all of these things. And sometimes people take the easy way out, Carol, and they run from the truth of God's Word. And instead of praying and shouting out to God, speak to me, Word of God, I come alive when you speak to me. A lot of times people say, you know, I don't want to hear you, God. I really don't. I mean, this is common today, in this day and age.
It's because they view it as a reprimand. If God is saying to them gently in their ear and in their soul, come to me.
Right.
Come to me.
Right.
They take that as a reprimand, like, come to me now, Anthony. Come to me now, Elizabeth. Come to me now, Sarah. Whatever it is, instead of recognizing that it's an invitation
right.
to enjoy life to its fullest with the Word of God deep in your soul.
Well, I've heard you say to Floyd Henry, your dog, come to me, Floyd Henry. And you
That's
do
right.
it in a voice that Floyd Henry knows that he had better move his butt right on over there to you or do
That's
whatever
right,
he's supposed to do.
Boxer dogs hate to be reprimanded. It is not their nature. They are the clowns of the dog world.
Really?
And they don't like being reprimanded. And when you're teaching a young boxer pup, when they get to be about 13, 14 weeks old, they do not hear anything. All they do is see the wind and run toward it. So you have to be, as a diligent dog parent, you've got to train them, just like we're trained by Jesus.
That's right.
Step by step, word by word, and then constant affection.
Constant affection. There you go, right there.
The kisses that have gone on him from me and me to him and him to me, our faces would just be blush red.
Oh, I know you kiss him. I don't kiss my dogs.
You know, that's what God does to us. He blushes us red with a kiss of compassion and love.
Yes, he does. You know, and Carol, you and Maxine have done boxer rescue for years, and you've had 185 boxers at one time. And,
at least.
Yeah, and all of that. But, I mean, I'm slightly exaggerating, but your point is good. You take a boxer who does not want to really respond, but finds that it is better for him in the long run if he comes when he's called.
That's right.
And it's the same for God's children, Carol.
I have a story about an animal about this. I witnessed this myself.
Okay.
When I had my ranch, I had a couple of cats. And my female gave birth, which was an intentional, purposeful thing. And she had five kittens. And I had people waiting to get these kittens because they were bobtailed. And people were wanting them so badly. Well, she had one that just would not hear her. The others she could call and corral, and they would come running to Mama. But this one kitten just refused to bow down to the authority of his mother. So one day it got up near the road, and I was watching it. I wasn't going to let it get run over or anything, but the mother went after it. I mean, she ran after it. She jumped in front of the kitten. There were no cars coming. It was a country road. And she spoke to the kitten in meow-meow language. The kitten still rebelled. She swatted him across his behind, picked him up by the nape of his neck, and dragged him back down to the barn where he was supposed to be. Now, isn't that what Jesus does to us?
Yes.
He picks us up when we're just about, and we don't think we're ever going to be rescued.
Right.
He picks us up by the nape of his neck,
yes,
filled
he
with
does.
Holy love in those hands.
Woo.
And he brings us close to his bosom, and he says, I love you, but you're on a destructive path.
Right.
I have mission for you in life to do,
right.
and you couldn't do what I am going to tell you to do if you were not under my servitude.
Woo. Praise God. And that is for somebody out there. God is speaking to your heart today that he has such a plan for you that you need to get on board with it. And you need to say the words of that first song we played earlier. Speak to me, Word of God, speak to me. I come alive when you speak to me. It's like the mother cat correcting and bringing that little kitten back. Like Carol was just saying, God does that with us, dear ones. He really does. Carol, we're going to resume this just after the hour here in a moment. We got to do a couple things. First of all, we want to invite people to our service. Locally, we are in Clearwater, Florida, and we have people that are a part of Beacon of Hope that are scattered in different parts of the globe now. So that's why we have totally and completely revamped our website, and it is brand new. It launched last Sunday. If you have not gone to the new site, go to www.beaconofhopeministries.com. And see on the homepage how we have divided the ministry into three main sections. The local ministry, which right now temporarily, before we find our next place to meet temporarily, that's hard to say, we are in the Executive Inn at 3580 Almerton Road temporarily and have a nice room there, but we have got to find a bigger place. So that's where we are. You can go to our website and see the services. Wednesday night Bible study at 7 and Sunday morning at 10:30. Power of God moved so mightily today. It was just wonderful. So you need to come experience, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, a service with us Sunday morning at 10:30, Wednesday night at 7. Carol, give me about 1 minute of what happens on Wednesday night so people know.
Wednesday night is a very strong prayer service, and these are the prayers that have been sent to us during the week. They're reiterated and prayed for again.
Amen.
By the people who were in the Bible study prayer session.
Right.
And then those other prayers that people bring in will be done the same way. And then after the prayer session, which is strong, hard, and heavy prayer session, devoted prayers, praying over each and every person that has asked for it. And then from that point, it goes into an in-depth Bible study where the Word of God is spoken, the Word of God is understood, and the Word of God is lived.
Amen.
And we send people out on Wednesdays to go the rest of their workaday world and into the weekend before Sunday comes with confidence, with an air of love and gratitude that Jesus has for them. And they take that into that workplace or their own homes or to their own heart, and they begin to realize how deep their love for God is.
Amen. That is a good description. Bring your Bible. You can bring your dinner if you come from work. Because we set up tables, and we got a microwave now. We're going to have popcorn on Wednesday night. So come to Bible study for popcorn. And the hotel is really great. They're giving us coffee and water and iced tea and all that good stuff. So come and be a part of us Wednesday nights at 7 for Bible study, 6:15 for prayer meeting. And every single one is welcome. Station ID, here we go.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock. And FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.
And here we are, living the good life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in our second hour today. We start, now we are 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Every single Sunday afternoon live. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. Carol is one of our radio team members and is up in Georgia where she lives in an active part. And Carol, I was talking about the website, but I want us both to just comment here a minute about the total revamp, because it took the better part of 2 weeks to do this total revamp, didn't it? It was amazing.
And the most wonderful part was that instead of having to have telephone conversations back and forth, we were actually able to come up and sit in the office and really, really bear down. And you and Maxine predominantly worked on that website until it was just absolute perfection. Always with a prayer, always with the Word of God at fingertips, always knowing that if there were something we didn't quite get or it didn't quite work, we would ask for His help.
Absolutely.
And it never fails. He's there. He's there in the midst.
Oh.
You know, remind yourself where two or more are gathered.
That's
he
right.
is there also.
Amen. And we just really revamped the whole thing. The old look is totally gone from the way it was for the last probably 6 or 7 years. And it's just a clean, beautiful, new template. And it carries through the entire website, which is page after page after page. This is a huge site, guys. There are a lot on our Beacon of Hope Ministries website, because we have probably at least 2 or 3 years of radio shows accessible on our website, which is amazing that technology has brought us to this point, because Cedric, our wonderful and handsome engineer in there right now in the control room, is recording this as we go. And then at the end of the show, he fixes if there's something that has to be fixed and sends it over to me by email, which is totally amazing. I send it to the webmaster, which is Maxine in Georgia, and then she gets it on our website by tomorrow night, usually by Monday sometime. Sometimes it's Tuesday, depending on her schedule, but then it's up there and it stays up there. So there are tons of shows where people can hear the word and learn. Isn't it amazing, Carol, that we've got that ability now to put these shows up there?
You know, I remember when the radio program was just a dream.
I know. I know.
It was a faraway dream. It seemed like it would never begin to happen.
Right.
And then, but you see, when I truly believe that when you're doing the Word of God and you're ministering to the people the way that He chooses for each individual in this Beacon of Hope ministry to minister, then things begin to take place and things began to happen. And I remember concentrated prayer for the website,
yes,
that we could have the website up, that we could have a radio program each Sunday. And how many years has it been now?
Six.
Six?
Yeah, we're going to have our sixth anniversary in April. Next month.
Is that not just amazing in and of itself?
Well, this is show number 308 that we've done live. I mean, it's just straight. I mean, the first one was not live. Everything else has been. And it's totally and completely a gift from God, that God supplies the finances every single week, Carol. We put a check in the little box outside here of the studio room before we even come on the air. It's paid for. And God has an amazing way of paying our bills, and we give Him glory and praise for that. Wow.
Always. You know, and that's the amazing thing about God. He knows your needs. He supplies your needs, whether that is the church, whether that is an individual or an individual ministry of the church. The power of prayer.
Amen. It's fantastic.
Changes things. It changes everything. Once every person decides to pray for Christ. If you're alone in your home right now, or if you're in your mobile home, or in your car driving someplace, know that this message today is indeed for you.
Amen.
God knows who you are, regardless of where you are, and regardless of your circumstances. He loves you today, tomorrow, yesterday, and always.
Amen. Which brings me great, just a perfect segue, Carol, into this old Gaither Vocal Band song, one of my favorites from a long time that we still do at Beacon of Hope from time to time. He Touched Me.
Oh, yes.
Shackled by a heavy burden, load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. Shout it while eternity rolls.
Praise God. Love that song. He touched me and made me whole. Praise God. Go with us to John chapter 3, and this is a familiar story to some of you. There was a man of the Pharisee sect. His name was Nicodemus. Nicodemus, he was a prominent leader among the Jews. Late one night, he visited Jesus, and he said, "Rabbi, we all know you're a teacher straight from God." That's interesting. He's a Pharisee, he's a religious leader, and yet he knows that there is something going on in this Jesus, that he is straight from God. And Nicodemus says, no one could do all the God-pointing, God-revealing acts you do if God wasn't in on it. I love that. I mean, it was obvious to Nicodemus, wait a minute, this is not just a teacher of the Quran. This is not, or the Torah. This is not just a teacher of the word. This is God doing his revealing of his nature through the ministry of Jesus. Nicodemus acknowledges this in John chapter 3. Let's look at verse 3 of John 3. Jesus said, "You're absolutely right. Take it from me. Unless a person is born from above, it's not possible to see what I'm pointing to God's kingdom." Jesus came to reveal God's kingdom to us. And it says in Romans 12:17 that the kingdom of God is, or 14:17, I'm sorry, is not what we eat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. It is righteousness. It is right standing with God. It is God's peace, and it's his joy. That's what God's kingdom is all about. And Jesus came to show us a better way of living, that we can actually live in peace, that we can live in joy, that we can actually live in right standing with God, that we can know that if we die tonight, we can be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity. And Nicodemus had never been born again. That term sometimes gets a bad rap, but it is exactly what happens when a person gives their life over to the control of God, where we acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is God, and that he came to this earth, died on a cross for our sins and our sicknesses, that he came out of the tomb, a risen Lord. When we make that statement, we said it in the first hour, when we say, "I believe," then we are born again. It's a new birth. It's not just the birth that happened when you came out of your mother's womb, and for some of us, a long time ago. But it is a new birth. It is a rebirth that happens on the inside of you. And Jesus said, Nicodemus says, and I'm going to bring Carol in for her comments on this in just a minute. Nicodemus says in John 3:4, "How can anyone be born who has already been born and grown up? You can't re-enter your mother's womb and be born again." What are you saying with this born from above talk? I mean, Nicodemus challenged Jesus and he said, "How can I be born again? I was already born a few years ago. I came out of my mother's womb. I'm a living person. I walk, I talk, I breathe, I function. I have already been born. How can I be born again?" Here's Jesus' answer in John 3:5. Jesus said, "You're not listening. Let me say it again. Unless a person submits to this original creation, the wind hovering over the water creation, the invisible moving the visible, a baptism into a new life, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom." When you look at a baby, it's just that, a body you can look at and touch. But the person who takes shape within is formed by something you can't see and touch, the Spirit of God, and he becomes a living spirit. When we are born naturally, we come out of our mother's womb, we are not just flesh and blood. We have a personality. We have a spirit. There is something in us that is alive. It's not just flesh and blood. You know, I mean, to me, Carol, it is fascinating how certain animals, let's say dogs, because I have those and you have those and you've had goats and sheep and everything else, but how certain animals can be almost like people in some ways. They have such a personality that there's more going on in that dog than just walking around and eating and drinking water and all that. There is actually something going on. They know the sound of your voice. And that's what God is saying to us here about people. People know the sound of God's voice. Do you want to comment on that?
Well, I think it's one of the, once you become born again, which I, you know, is to not, like you say, go through your mother's womb. That's an impossibility. But being born in the spirit of the holy living water is not an impossibility. It is the way we come to Jesus. We come to him contrite. We come to him broken. We come to him full of questions about our life happening around us that seems so out of control. We come to him because we don't like what we are. We look in the mirror and we might be quite beautiful or quite handsome, but we see beyond the flesh and we know that in our hearts and our souls, we are not clean. We are not good. We don't hear the word of God. We don't accept the word of God because it just wasn't intended for us. Well, the good news is it is intended for every single person.
Amen.
So you are born again in the spirit of
yes.
Christ. You ask him, Jesus, come into my life and cleanse me. And he comes in with this little scrubby pad, and he helps you remove all the ugly.
His scrubby pad, Mr. Clean.
He's got his little scrubby pad, and it's called the Words of Life
right.
through the living Jesus Christ. He comes in with his wisdom, his compassion, his empathy, his love, his hope, his grace, his mercy,
yes.
his forgiveness.
Yes.
Of everything we've ever done that was against what he has taught.
Right.
I have a wonderful example of that, and I'm very proud to say this because I've seen this happen in my brother. My brother and I were estranged for 18 years.
Yeah.
And because of lifestyles, mine didn't jive with his because mine is always on a spiritual basis, and his didn't jive with mine because he was wanting to be roguish and self-centered and God-denying. We made contact again in July. And he had been looking for me for 2 years. And my statement to him was, you didn't look too hard because I'm easy to find. And I said, you know, you need to say, God, where is she? And he'd put you right at my front door. And he said, you know, Carol, I didn't think about that. But in our conversations, and I had great trepidations about conversations with him, I did not want to end up in a fuss and a fight and an argument, as it always did.
Right. It was always fractured, wasn't it?
Always fractured. Fractured from a long, like I say, 18 years worth of fracture. And he said, there's something I have to tell you. And I said, okay. And he said, I found Jesus. And I said, I do hope you realize he wasn't lost. You were. And he said, I am doing my best to live the life that you always told me that I should be living.
Whoa.
He said, I've had you as an example in my life for all of these years, and I have not ever agreed with what you said about this marvelous Jesus Christ. And he said, but I know who he is on a personal basis, and I'm changing my life every single day.
And that's a huge praise, God.
I cannot express the joy
right.
that my heart feels for you and for your family, because you will be the bright, shining star of your family, your
right.
children, your grandchildren, your great-grandson.
Right. Absolutely. And look at the difference in Frank. I mean, there is huge differences that have
big
happened
difference.
Already. And you and I have talked about how God has restored this relationship between the two of you and has mended things. And there might be some of you out there today in Radio Land that are estranged from family members or friends, that you've gone your separate ways and it was bitter and it wasn't pretty. And God wants to restore. He is the restorer. And sometimes it's so cool that we never really understand what God has done, but we just know that those feelings are gone and we are walking in forgiveness and walking in newness of life. And that's what has happened between you and your brother. It's really cool.
That's right. He said, what would you say to me to help me along my journey? And I said, I would say to you first, speak speaking in the third person. Welcome home.
Right. There you go.
And I said, the next thing I would say to you is you must die to yourself.
Right. Yes.
Everything that you've ever known that was against God, everything you've ever done that was against God, meaning whatever you've done to other people or to your family or to yourself, you must dismiss that. You must have a burial. That person has to die.
Exactly.
And or spirit-wise, soul-wise, in order to claim the victory of Jesus Christ.
Amen. There has to be a rebooting almost, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when your computer goes down and the only way to fix it, you know, a couple weeks ago we at church we were getting ready to put the words through the flat screen TV, you know, for people to sing.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing had been on when we walked in, so it was never rebooted. And so we tried, I mean, we had everybody there, the hotel people, and for an hour, nobody could figure it out, what was wrong and why it wasn't working. So Laura walks in, one of our singers, and we said, Laura, what's wrong? And she said, well, I don't know, but I know this, that the best thing for any kind of computer is just to reboot it. Just turn the thing off and start over. You know what? That fixed the problem. That was it. It was that simple.
And that's what
rebooting.
We can do in our life through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We get a do-over. We get a repeat of doing good.
Amen.
We can reboot ourselves. And, you know, it's just
that's the born again. That's being born again.
Once these changes occur in a person's life, they know where to go for help. You know, if you're rebooting a computer, you have to go to a manual sometimes. Or you have to call a friend.
Not me.
Say,
I just
hey,
call Maxine.
I
can't.
Well, it's the same thing when someone's trying to reboot, redo, makeover of their life. They can't walk as zombies anymore.
No. It's time to face things. It's time to allow the Spirit of God to do a work in them. And Nicodemus here says to Jesus, I don't get this. What do you mean? I can't get back in my mother's womb. I have no clue how to be born again. And Jesus says, you walk around the earth every day and you experience wind, don't you? He says to Nicodemus. And he says, wind, you mean like in the trees, wind blows. And you know what? Speaking of that, that happened to me yesterday. I was driving to Brooksville with my almost daughter-in-law for her bridal fitting. And we're driving along on whatever that is, the Veterans Expressway up there. And I'm looking at the trees and I'm going, they're not moving, but the car is. And I mean, my truck was just like moving all over the road. And my daughter-in-law almost said, Candy said, my gosh, this thing is beating us around. And we couldn't even see the trees moving, but we could feel it, Carol. And it was like just moving us all over the highway. And Jesus said, it's like that with the Spirit of God. You may not see what's happening, but you can feel that something's going on down on the inside of your heart. You're not the same person. I mean, the car, I had to be very careful and keep it going steady and in the right lane because of the wind was so intense yesterday. But the wind of God's Spirit is intense and is wanting to shift us into a new place in Him. A born-again experience, a fresh outlook. Go ahead.
You know what it's like? It's like the Word of God is trying to blow the hell out of us.
To blow the hell out of us? Okay,
yes.
Carol, all right. But that's true, really.
To blow the evil out.
Yes.
The hell-dwelling activities that people do. That's where they're going to go. You know, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're not going to be sitting pretty when that trumpet blows.
Well, it begs the question. I've heard this question for years, and it always is good to use this question. If you died tonight, are you sure? Are you confident? Are you absolutely positive that you would be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity? Would you be there? You know, would you be there? Do you know that you would be there? And if you are, if you're sure of that, then you're born again. If you're not sure of it, then you need to say, okay, God, whatever it is that has kept me at a distance from you, I want to change that now. And I want to get myself in a place where I know that I know that I know that I am born again. And like Nicodemus, accepting Jesus as their personal savior, we've got to get to that point. And there might be some out there listening today, Carol, that are so far away from God, estranged like you were from your brother. And today at this moment, this hour, this opportunity is ripe to receive what God has for us, so we can
and
become.
If people don't want to say, you know, to their friends or their family or their neighbors, I'm trying to get all this hellacious activity out of me. I'm trying to find a way for God. That's when that prayer line really comes in handy. Because if somebody's struggling with a situation, they can go to the BOHM prayers and put their thoughts down, their requests down. I don't know how to deal with this. Pray for this. And that's when this group of prayers, and there are many, many of us, and the list is increasing, go to God for you. We become the intercessors. We're the ones standing with our arms figuratively around your shoulders.
Amen.
Holding you up in prayer.
Exactly.
And asking God to come into you and give you the courage, the strength that it takes to leave devious situations and people behind you, and to always, always keep your eye on that tunnel, because at the end of that darkness in anybody's life, as you spoke earlier, that little teeny weeny flicker of nothing but one lit match or one lit lighter,
right,
is the light of Christ shining through. And if you keep heading toward that dark tunnel to that light, all of a sudden you're in his realm, and you didn't even realize that it was a shorter journey than you had imagined.
Amen. Which brings me to this song, Carol, and it's amazing how God always does this. Connie's our musical director, and it just amazes me how our conversation just always ends up right. God Will Make a Way by Don Moen, where there seems to be no way.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my God. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way.
Let's sing it together.
Oh, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my God. To his side, with love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. By a roadway in the wilderness, he'll lead me.
Rivers in the desert.
Rivers in the desert will I see. Heaven and earth will fade, but his word will still remain, and he will do something new today.
Be here tonight. You may think God has forgotten you about your situation, but he hasn't. The Bible says that we are inscribed on the palm of his hand. And heaven and earth may pass away, but his word will remain forever. And he can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever ask or think tonight. Amen. Let's sing it.
Make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way.
Praise God. I love that song. Great song. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. And there are so many times in our lives where we feel like there's no way out of our circumstances. It just seems like it's overwhelming and overpowering. And I think that Jesus coming to earth, Carol, taking on human form, is God's way of saying, you know what? We care about what's going on in your life. I've got to bring this up because I taught on this morning, but I want to go there to John chapter 2, verse 1. Three days after the disciples started coming on board with Jesus' ministry, there was a wedding. It was just an ordinary event. It was not a church wedding. It was not anything. It was just a wedding. And Jesus' mother and his brothers and sisters and his disciples were invited to this wedding. And what strikes me about this wedding is that it was just a normal human thing. It wasn't a big mass crusade where there's thousands of people getting healed at once. It's an ordinary life experience. It's just a common thing. And they began to run out of wine. And Jesus' mother Mary, already knowing the power of Jesus and what he could do to change situations and people's lives, says to the servants there, and points out her son, Jesus, and says, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Now, that's really faith right there for Mary, the mother of Jesus. Jesus had not done any miracles recorded. There are no miracles recorded of Jesus' ministry until this event. And at this exact moment in time, the miraculous signs of the ministry of Jesus begin right here at a wedding, a mundane, typical, normal event. And all they're doing is running out of wine. And Jesus says to the stewards there, he says, there were 6 stone water pots there. And he says, fill the pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. And then he said, now pour that, what you just filled. And everybody's looking around going, that's water, dude. Do you not get that's just water? You just had us fill these big old pots with water and we're out of wine. There's a difference between water and wine. I know there had to be skeptics standing around going, why are we filling these pots with water? The guests are going to recognize that they're not drinking wine. And it says, Jesus said, now take your pitcher and pour out of that great big pot, which these were 20, 30 gallon pots, pour out of the pot what comes into the pitcher and then take it and give it to the head steward and they will start filling people's glasses with this. Now, I know, Carol, there had to be some skeptics in that observed all that going, yeah, and you guys are going to be pouring water into these guests' glasses and they're not going to be happy campers. But what happened, this is the first miracle of Jesus, and when they poured that water, it was now wine. The first miracle of Jesus invades our human space, invades our humanity, invades our life, and says, I can do something about that. I don't know about y'all, but that just blesses me. You there, Carol?
Simple, a drink as water being changed to wine,
yes,
was symbolically,
yes,
his way of saying a plain, ordinary, everyday life can be changed into a miraculous forever life.
Hey, that's good. That's good. Yeah, just a plain, ordinary, like water can be changed into something as magnificent as wine.
Yes,
that is so cool.
And it kept their social standing up, which
right,
was important.
Right. There you go.
You know, and isn't that what he does to us? He elevates us to a new standard.
Ooh, that's good too. Yes, he does. He takes our drab ordinary
to drink, which is the living water of the well.
Yes, it is.
And it changes us into becoming what he wants us to do. You know, you can't put new wine in an old wineskin.
Yep.
So you have to change the skin out every time you want to put fresh wine in.
Yeah.
So he's changing us.
Right. He is changing us.
And he's pouring his life-giving spirit into us.
Amen.
One drink at a time.
Amen. And, you know, I mean, the people there that were working, the servants, could have said, there's no way. We are not doing that.
They could have all walked out and said, these are cheap people.
Exactly.
You know, why did they plan this party if they couldn't provide?
Well,
but you see, you never sit down to an empty table when Jesus Christ is in your life.
There you go. And, you know, I like this, the fact that this is the first time that Mary, his mother, or anybody puts a demand on the ability of God. This is the first time. And he could have, Jesus could have said, because he said, he did say, don't push me. He did say that. But that's a typical thing a kid says to their mother, right? Don't push me. But she doesn't, she just ignores that and says to the servants, here, do whatever he tells you, you do it. Okay? Which is such an admonition for us on a daily basis. Whatever God tells us to do, do it. If
and
he tells you
what he tells
right,
us, and it doesn't matter
exactly.
who you are, because he's going to speak to you at some point in your life. He is going to speak to you, and you don't have to be 62, 63, 70, 80. He will speak to you at a younger
Amen.
Age.
Amen.
And he will say, excuse me, now you've gone through your puberty, and you've been doing some crazy, reckless things. Please don't forget I'm still here. Please don't forget I still have something for you to do.
Amen.
And I'm waiting for you to come to me.
And he does always wait with arms extended, you know? And there he is. There he is in our life situations. And he expects us and wants us to respond. But I love the fact that he says to his mother, don't push me. But she just says, that's okay. God's going to move in this situation. She had an inner witness, Carol, down on the inside of her, that this was not going to ruin the party that they had all come to. They had come to a wedding. They were going to celebrate the wedding. And if it meant that Jesus' miraculous ability needed to come forth in that given situation, then Mary knew enough and had enough faith down on the inside of her to tap into, make a demand on the power and the word of God. And that's what we got to be doing. We got to tap into that. We got to put a demand on God's ability in our lives, Carol.
We certainly do. And we have to realize, as we hear his words given to us, we have to realize it doesn't matter how, you know, what you feel like physically. I've told this story so many times, and I proclaim it to be the truth. When I'm in a situation in a church where I'm delivering a message or teaching a class, I walk with a cane. I have two ankles that just need to be thrown off and done over. And I go in there limping really bad, even with a cane.
Yeah.
And yet when I put that cane aside and I'm teaching or I'm delivering the message, I do not walk with a limp. I do not feel pain. I am lifted up by his mercy and grace to stand there and deliver the message as he has given it to me. Now, when I get ready to leave, that's a horse of a different color. I need six little elephants and three giraffes to get me to the car.
Well, back to the song we just did, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. And for our listeners right now or who might listen in the future to this show, God wants to make a way in your situation, regardless of how difficult your situation may seem to you. God will make a way, just like he did at the first miracle here at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. God made a way where there seemed to be no way. He does get involved in our everyday lives, doesn't he, Carol?
Yes, he does. In every sense of the word and way. You know, we spend a lot of time together, and we each one know what God is doing in our lives. And we encourage each other to recognize it, to proclaim it, to live it, and continue to teach it.
Right.
And that's a marvelous thing when you have friends that you can do that with. I had a friend sitting here earlier today in my house, unexpected, but nonetheless, they were there. And you called me the first time, about 5 to 1 or 1 o'clock, somewhere along in there. And you called me. I stepped outside to take the phone call. But before that, this individual heard you say something about God. I promise you, it was not 2 minutes later, she got up and left the house. She is agnostic. Does that tell you something?
Right. And she didn't want to hear it.
She could not even sit in the room to hear the word God.
I hear you. I know, and there's a lot of people, that's the way they feel about it.
I kind of laughed. I mean, I had to laugh because the person in her that doesn't accept Christ couldn't even stand to hear the word you said to me over the telephone.
Oh, my. And then we go to the nursing home and all those eager hearts ready to hear the words of life, you know, and the thing is, Carol, there are people out there that are agnostics, that are atheists, whatever the case may be. But, you know, people that, if you know somebody like that in your life, begin praying for them, because God is going to make a way where there seems to be no way. He is in the miracle business.
I was estranged from my brother, and even previous to that, when we were not estranged, the one thing I do every single day was to pray for him. It's one of the last things I do at night is to pray for him and his family.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I didn't know if he were hearing or feeling my prayers going to him and directed. And so when we were speaking the first time in July at my birthday, that's when he called me, and we were speaking, and he said, "You have been praying for me." And I said, "Well, yes, I have." And he said, "Carol, I felt every single prayer you said for me."
Praise God. So our prayers do make a difference in people's lives. They do. And sometimes we don't even know what has happened in their lives or the difference it's made. But that's not our problem. Our problem is to pray. Which brings me, before we do this next song, it brings me to announcing one more time. We talked about it last week. On March 13th, which is 3/13/13, which is a week from Wednesday, we are a part of the move of God coming out of Indiana and coming from Betty and Megan and others up there, that the 10,000 strong in prayer on that night between 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock, prayer for our nation. We are going to be having a special prayer meeting that night at Beacon of Hope to remind people about prayer and how important it is. But our concentrated prayer is going to be for redemption, for renewal, for revival to happen across this nation. And we are joining forces with other believers that night, which is a week from Wednesday night between 6 and 7 o'clock. And we are believing God that there is going to be a mighty revival start going across our nation. We're joining hands with other believers. So mark your calendar out there. It's on the front page of our website. It's on our homepage now, prayer, 10,000 prayer strong. So go there and join us for that, because prayer does make a difference. And when we proclaim and declare over people, something happens. Listen to this song by Casting Crowns, and then we'll get back to Carol in a minute. It's called Spirit Wind, and it's all about death having to give way to life. Life, when we speak life, just like when Jesus told the servants what to do with those pots and to fill them up with water. When we are filled up with water, when we speak life into people's situations, death must take a back seat. Listen to this song. It's really going to bless you.
Ezekiel stared down into the valley, filled with dried bones baking in the sun. Remains that used to be a mighty army, to him it looked like the fighting days were done. But driven by your calling on his life, you spoke God's words, the bones began to shake. You stared wide-eyed as the flesh began to form, and as it prophesied to the wind, the soldiers began to wake. And the Lord sent his wind into the valley and breathed the breath of life into their souls and raised them again a mighty army. Soon these arisen warriors will battle again, but they have been filled with the Spirit wind. Oh, 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 oh.
once a mighty army for the Lord. But now he stares into the lifeless eyes, believers leading carnal lives, wonders what they're fighting for. But driven by your calling on his life, he spoke God's word like he'd done 100 times before. This time he comes broken and weeping, the tears of a broken heart, and he cries out to the Lord. Oh Lord, send your wind into this valley, breathe the breath of life into their souls. Raise them again, a mighty army, soon these arisen warriors will battle again. Have been filled with the Spirit. Oh, yeah. Oh, 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 oh.
Holy Spirit, breathe on me, breathe your life in me. Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah. Praise God.
Breathe your life in me.
Lord, send your wind into this valley.
Send your wind, Lord, into this valley.
Breathe the breath of life into our
soul. Breathe life into our listeners right now, dear God. Lord, there are some out there that are confused and broken and beaten up. There are some right now that hear this live and others that will hear it later, that need a fresh touch from your mighty hand. Lord, there are some that are confused and just so discouraged with life. And as Carol said earlier, there might be someone out there who is even thinking of taking their own life. Lord, we know that these problems and situations in people's lives are not too big for you, mighty God. We know that you can breathe your life into these ones. We can't even see them. We may never know them till we see them and meet them in heaven. And they say, oh, remember that day on the radio? And we'll say, oh, yeah, that day. And we may not know what you are doing right now in countless lives, but Lord, we know you've given us this vision and this mission to reach countless numbers of people around the globe with the good news of the Spirit of God working in our lives. So Lord, we believe you right now that you are working, you are touching lives, you are making people hunger after you. You are giving them a fresh new desire for your Spirit. You are giving them a choice to make. And there are many that are making the choice to get back in the Bible, get back in your word, get back into the teaching of the word, and to really make their lives count for your kingdom. Lord, for those that are making that decision right now, for those hearts that you're speaking to, let the decision be yes. Let them choose life. Let them choose you like Nicodemus did. Let them choose to be born again anew. And maybe some of them are saying, I know Jesus, he's my Savior, but you need a fresh touch from God. Take it right now. We just pronounce it into your life. We proclaim it into you right now that you will have a fresh desire for the things of God. You will desire God's word more than anything else in your life. Well, you will desire to grow up in God and become the person that God has ordained for you to be. We declare right now over you in the name of Jesus that the life of God is working a miracle in you, turning your dull, lifeless life into something that will really count for the kingdom of God. We pronounce this over you right now, whoever you are and wherever you are. May you be filled right now with a fresh knowledge of God's Holy Spirit, how very much He loves you, how very much He wants to do a fresh work in you. Receive it now by faith. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And we want to hear from you. I have a new email address that's a little easier. Pastor@bohmglobal.com. BOHM stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we had a lot of people that would not reach us because they didn't spell it correctly. It's long and involved, so we've shortened it. Pastor@bohmglobal.com. If you write me, I will respond to you. I promise. Carol, talk to me. God's Spirit is moving in this show, Carol. God's Spirit is here.
He has a message delivered to somebody. I don't know who it is. It may be more than, probably is more than one somebody. But whoever it is needs to know one thing. Regardless of where you are, what's happening in your life, if you're at a high point in life and everything is wonderful and good, then praise God. Still speak to Him and sing praises to Him that you know who He is and He is blessing your life. But if you're on the other end of the spectrum and you don't know who He is and you know now that your life is falling apart, please turn your life over to God today and say to Him two simple words, come to me. That's three words. Come to me.
Right.
And He will come to you just like you could never imagine. He
Amen.
Comes in peace. He
Amen.
Comes in mercy.
Yes.
He comes in grace and
yes.
love.
Yes.
He forgives anything you've ever done.
Amen.
He tells us as far as the east is from the west,
Amen.
He does not remember.
That's right.
You can say to Him, Jesus, but I can't come because remember, and He'll hold His hand up and He'll say to you, I do not remember.
Mm-hmm. That's
now,
right.
We humans do. We remember down to the very color of the toenail polish you were wearing. Or the brand of cigarettes that you flipped before you walked up to us. We hold on to those things.
Yeah.
But Jesus Christ
yeah.
accepts you as a new, brand new soul coming to Him, asking to live in His realm.
Ooh.
So please change your lives and do that today. It's important because you don't know what the next blink of an eye could bring.
Amen. You know what, Carol, we'll come back to you for just in just a moment with some final words. But, Cedric, I want us to go back to track two, Awake My Soul, because these words speak to me, Word of God. This is for somebody out there. Let's do this again.
I can to you, and you will come to life. So I prophesied as I was commanded. As I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and the tendons and the flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe away.
Praise God. Oh, what a great song. Awake. So listeners out there, awake. Awake and come out of death, the death areas of our lives, into life, God's life. Carol, give us a final word here before we get ready to go on about our day.
God serves us the living water. We're never without it. Once he offers it to us and we accept it, we drink forever. And he is an open banquet table for all who choose to go and taste how good he is.
Oh, amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Wow, that is so true. And Carol, it's just such a blessing, isn't it, to be able to share God's word on the air. People can go to our website and listen to old radio shows. We've got 2 or 3 years worth on there. I mean, amazing amounts of ministry are accessible for people at www.beaconofhopeministries.com. Would you tell them one more time about prayers at bohmglobal.com and tell them why we have that ministry?
It's a fantastic ministry and one which I very much enjoy being a part of in the writing capacity and in the reading capacity when Pastor Jim writes the prayers. It is an anointed time. Both of us seriously take it into consideration, and we open our hearts to God's words to come to us to write prayers for people who are going through a good time, a difficult time, a time of questioning. We enjoy being there. We sit at the banquet table.
Amen.
He's at the head of our table, God is, and we sit at his banquet, and as people write their prayers or their requests for prayers or their praises, we can feed each person's needs simply because Pastor Jim and I are in contact with God all the time.
Amen.
We live his life in ours. We fulfill our lives in what we do to other people and helping them through.
Amen.
It is a table full of mercy and grace. And if you need to have prayer or if you want to write a praise, send it to the Beacon of Hope prayer team, and it will be received. You can also send the same things to Pastor Marsha if you would like. And just make yourself known to us. That 18 prayers in one day, I'd like to have broken.
Amen. Let's go higher. Let's get more requests in one day. Absolutely.
Take your burdens off yourself.
Right.
Lay them on the altar where God is.
Amen.
He will change everything for
Amen.
You.
Amen. Prayers at bohmglobal.com. Thank you, Carol. It's always a joy to have you on the show. We'll talk later. And dear listeners, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, visit us on Sunday morning at 10:30. We are now in a temporary location, one we've been at before, the Executive Inn at 3580 Almerton Road, temporarily while we look for a bigger place to meet. And 10:30 Sunday mornings, Wednesday night, 6:15 prayer meeting, 7 o'clock Bible study. Everyone is welcome. On March 13th, 3/13/13, we are part of the 10,000 Prayer Strong for our nation from 6 to 7 p.m. on Wednesday night, March 13th, a week from Wednesday. Join us during that time and go to our front page of our website and tell us that you will be praying at that time, even if it's just for a few minutes. Okay? God bless you. We hope you've had a great time on this show today. I know I have. This always blesses me. We love to close the show with this song that we've been closing the show with for 6 years now. It's not far to Jesus, because you know what? It's not. It's not far to Jesus. We love you. You can write me personally, pastor at bohmglobal.com. God bless you. Have a great week. Tell somebody about the show next week, live 3 to 5 on this radio station and in the other states that carry us live. God bless you. Have a great week. It's been Pastor Marcia McAllister, my buddy Carol, And all of us from Beacon of Hope saying, God bless you. If we can help you, reach out. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
You can trust him.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock. And FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.